How is everyone doing? It is your host, Nakeem Khan. Alongside me is my co-host, Malik Mehta Marrera. Yeah, I'm pulling out the full name. You know, in Toronto, they'll call that the Govy. So I just pulled out the Govy. You know, everyone who's not a part of the Toronto lingo, you just got educated there with some Toronto slang. But anyways, welcome to the Hoop Central podcast. Malik, how are you doing?
I'm doing better because you pronounced my last name like that was 100%, bro. That's like 10.
Was it right? I was wrong. Where did I butcher it?
That was correct, bro. You got me blushing, everything.
Oh, man. Well, for everyone listening right now, as I said, the Hoop Central podcast, this is the perfect place for everything basketball. Now, not just NBA basketball, but we talk about G League basketball. We talk about the NCAA. You know, it's March Madness right now. You can look through all of our prior episodes for this season and see that we have lived up to our word. We've talked about the G League. We've talked about the NCAA. And obviously, we have talked about the NBA. But Malik, before we get into things right now, there's a lot of stuff we got to cover, but it only makes sense to start off with, you know, we're still in March and that means there is still madness happening. Malik, take us with a run through of what's been happening in college basketball.
The madness is real right now. Last time we talked about March Madness was the second round, I believe. There were about 4 to 5 different upsets. And now we are in the Elite Eight and we just passed the Sweet 16. The headliner right now is freaking UCLA.
Wow.
David Singleton is going crazy off the bench. Johnny Juzang, I think that's how you pronounce it, is my favorite player on that team. Guy's going absolutely nuts.
Amazing player.
And who made like those two big shots? I think it was
Hawkes
or Jaquez Jr.
Yeah, I think so.
The announcer was pronouncing him Hawkes, but it looks like by the last name it's Jax or Jaquez. Maybe it's Hawkes. That's how you pronounce it. That's a really cool way to pronounce it. But that guy was fading on threes over everybody.
The one thing about college basketball is it's much different than the NBA's postseason. In the NBA playoffs, you have a 7-game series. If you lose game one, if you're a higher seed, you can always regroup, watch film, get better, and then obviously make the adjustments. But in the NCAA tournament, it's whoever comes out that night and plays better is going to win. Doesn't matter if the best team on the court isn't producing like that. It's every man for themselves. And you see UCLA, they beat – who was they faced? Arkansas? Alabama.
Oh, it was Alabama. I had Alabama winning, but I'm not even surprised UCLA won. I'm not surprised.
But going into the team I just mentioned, Arkansas, I think it's only right that we talk about. Although Arkansas won, shout out to Oral Roberts. Now, my gosh, they made it far in the tournament. But not only that, they could have won that game against Arkansas at the buzzer if they made that three-pointer at the very end. Ooh. And you know what? I think they didn't go the way that they wanted that game to go. Obviously, they wanted to keep fighting, potentially get into the Final Four. Who knows? But for a 15 seed to go that far in the tournament, I think they've done themselves one heck of a it's crazy. I know the Oral Roberts Dean, I believe, said just from that first win in the tournament, the upset against who did they upset again? Ohio State. They just from that win, the school like won basically $120 million from that one win. And that is insane. And you know what they say, March Madness is full of madness. And it is also one of the biggest times of business when it comes to sports in general. Now,
no, absolutely.
Malik, there has been madness in another league as well. We just surpassed the trade deadline for the NBA, and we've had some time to let it marinate and kind of reflect and think about these trades and kind of properly give them a grade. We've seen some of these players in actions for their new respective teams, and it's only right that we look into some of the major trade deadline deals that happened at the trade deadline and kind of gave a little bit of a grade, you know, let everyone hear our opinions and our thoughts on the trade deadline. Now, Malik, I will let you go first. I think it's only right that we start off with the biggest trade from the day, and that being the Orlando Magic trading all-star Nikola Vucevic to the Chicago Bulls for basically nothing. Like, they got some players in return, but Vucevic, what are your thoughts on that?
Man, Chicago got a W on that. That's a franchise center possibly there, fitting great with Lowry Markkanen. You have you have a development player in Kobe White. Zach LaVine wants to stay long term, and Patrick Williams get developed into your three in the next couple of years. So if you think of it, you're set. The Bulls are set right now. Yeah. Maybe they could possibly sneak in the playoffs this year. I don't think they're gonna win this year, but next year is gonna be a big year for the Bulls, and the year after, and they're in it. They're in it for the long haul right now. So, you know, what a great move by the front office for Chicago. And we'll see what happens. You know, Otto Porter had a huge contract. Wendell Carter was coming off the bench. So, you know, wasn't fitting well. It wasn't an ideal fit. So sending him to Orlando was probably better. He's going to get a lot of minutes there. And Otto Porter's contract was huge and, you know, battling with a lot of injuries. So Chicago definitely got the W. Orlando Magic are unloading their player. So, you know, it was a very complimentary trade.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to. The Orlando Magic basically said, we're going full rebuild right now. We are going to do a complete fire sale. And that's exactly what they did. We're going to talk more about them and the trades they made. But Vucevic, he's only played one game so far with the Chicago Bulls, and that was against the San Antonio Spurs, in which they did suffer a loss. But in 31 minutes of action, I think Vucevic, he still has some room to grow with this new team. But he had 21 points, 9 rebounds, and that's like your first game in a new environment, new sets, new plays, just to show his instant impact within that team. And them having a second all-star now, and it's not just like Zach LaVine and a guy who's like had a fringe all-star season. Vucevic is a 2-time all-star. He's kind of solidified himself as one of the best bigs in basketball, and he's very underrated at doing so. He's an automatic 2010 guy. I kind of consider him to be just a tier below of what LaMarcus Aldridge was in his prime. You know, like instant 20 and 10 guy. He can be dominant, but he can't be the best player on your team. But he could be a complimentary piece. Do I think Zach LaVine can be the best player on a championship team? I have yet to see them prove it in the playoffs for me to believe that. But looking at the standings right now, anything is possible in the East. The Chicago Bulls are 2 games out of the 8th seed. Now, obviously, this is where it gets a little chippy because you've got the Hawks, Celtics, and Heat from 6-8. And out of those teams, the only one that I see falling out of playoff contention is probably the Atlanta Hawks. I don't see Miami now. We're going to talk about them in a few moments. I don't see Miami and Boston like falling that far back behind in the ladder, but anything's possible in the East. I think Chicago could really make a run for the playoffs, especially with the play-in game being added in this season. I think it is, if I'm not mistaken, they're using the play-in game as well.
Yes, the play-in tournament, I think from 8-10.
Yeah, so if that's brought in again, you never know what can happen in that. So I'll give this trade an A for Chicago because I think this fills in a much needed hole. And I think it also takes pressure off of Zach LaVine and is able to give him like a 1-2 punch. Cause that pick and pop, pick and roll between him and Vucevic, or even who do they have at point guard right now?
Kobe White's actually coming off the bench, and they have Satoransky.
Oh, really?
They have Satoransky for size starting at the one, which is very interesting. And before the trade happened, they had Kobe White and Wendell Carter coming off the bench, which is a very interesting move by the head coach.
Billy Donovan, I believe, is head coach of the Chicago Bulls. That is an interesting decision. I don't know if I would have done the same thing, but very interesting nonetheless. But I think also looking at the Orlando Magic side of things, obviously they're looking into rebuilding. They've kind of missed their window to get better. They've missed on a lot of draft prospects, Aaron Gordon being one of them. Mm-hmm. You've seen some other players, Victor Oladipo, start playing good after they've left the Orlando Magic. And they have so much young players now that I think it's only right that you make this move to rebuild. And I think they did it right. They got some picks out of it. I think you could have got more out of Evan Fournier, which we'll talk about in a moment. You have Jonathan Isaac coming back from an injury. You're kind of with sending out Aaron Gordon, you're focusing on him being your small forward. And then you also have Cole Anthony, who I think is a great point guard. And then you have Markelle Fultz coming back from injury. And I believe they have another young player. I can't
Okeke is making a name for himself, and he's performing very well. And Ken Birch.
That is it. And also Dwayne Bacon, I think, is on the Magic too, and he's been having a really solid season. So, like, they have some pieces. It just comes to developing it, and they're obviously going to try to get a high pick in the draft class. So, Orlando, I hope they can get things going, but when it comes to rebuilding, I think they did what they had to do. But Malik, now looking at the other trade the Orlando Magic made, Aaron Gordon, what are your thoughts about the Aaron Gordon trade?
And I think he fits great as a Nuggets power forward or small forward if they want to go big. And they also attained JaVale McGee as well for depth on the bench. So Denver is looking really good right now. And, you know, that sends Paul Millsap possibly to the bench. And that's even more depth off your second unit. So that's great. I think he'll be a great complimentary piece. It's only been one game. I think he scored 13 points in his debut, 26, 27 minutes. But wait to see what happens. Denver really wants to make the push to contention, but there's a lot of competition in the West. And the West, we know, is a tough conference to be in. If you look at the teams, like if you look at Boston or New York, they would be, but I think New York's third or fourth, or no, they're fourth or fifth. They would be seventh or eighth in the West.
Yeah.
So lots of competition. But man, Orlando stacking up on picks and Denver trying to make that push. Nikim, I want to hear your thoughts on that. What do you think of Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee as additions to the
picks? I like the move a lot because I feel like, as you said, the West is so stacked right now that if you didn't make a trade or any type of deal to get better, you would have got left behind because the Lakers are obviously the Lakers. They made their offseason additions last season with Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell. Obviously, LeBron and AD are out, but you look at other teams like the Clippers, they've got Rondo now, so they got a playmaker to help facilitate the offense with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George kind of taking that responsibilities off of them. We don't know how scary they can be. We won't really get into that much of the Evan Fournier trade. All I got to say is that finally the Celtics made a move because they've been missing out on so many potential trades that they could have made. And it was getting to the point where I felt that Danny Ainge was going to, like, he is one of the most overrated general managers, in my opinion, in NBA history. And he's kind of been proven that with not being able to get Miles Turner, not being able to bring back Gordon Hayward, all these missed opportunities. So him finally getting something, I think, is at least good for the Celtics. Do I think they're going to be as good as people thought they would be at the beginning of the season? Probably not. But we'll have to see how that works. I think he's making his debut today as we are recording this.
Yeah, we have yet to see if he's going to start or come off the bench, but I would assume that Marcus Smart will still have his shooting guard spot in the starting five, and Evan Fournier will be your sixth man. Finally, Boston
got bad at all.
And Evan Fournier is averaging career high in numbers, just getting
20
better
points per game, I believe,
every year.
Yeah, he's been a great player. Now looking at another player who's been averaging around 20 points per game this season in his best season of his career. It might hurt us to say this, but he is no longer a Toronto Raptor.
Man.
And that is Norman Powell. Now, Malik, I have a lot of things to say about this trade, and I think a lot of Raptor fans need to hear what I have to say, and I won't make it too long, but Malik, what are your thoughts on this trade now that he's finally been able to soak in? As of when we're recording this, the Blazers just played the Raptors yesterday on Sunday. So it was the reunion game, and you guys could say the revenge game.
Yeah.
Blazers did end up with a victory. But Malik, what are your thoughts on this trade for both sides?
It was a very unique move. I knew that Lowry or Powell, either one of them or both of them, would go. And we chose to keep Lowry at the end, even though a lot of our trades, including Terrence Davis, Matt Thomas, and Powell, was for cap space and to do possibly a three-team trade involving Lowry. It didn't fall through. But it was mostly about Powell's future of the Raptors, and we were probably not going to be able to afford his contract at the end of the season. So we thought we might as well dump him now, so to save us, you know, the headache, because there's quite a bit of free agents, and you know, Lowry's going to be the vocal asset, trade asset, in the off season. So we thought, you know, we're not going to afford Powell. We're probably going to lose him in free agency. So let's just dump him now. Gary Trent is a very great piece. He's 22 years old. I thought he was 28. And when I looked at 22, I'm like, this is great. We have this guy could develop, possibly could stay long-term in Toronto. He's had a rough couple games, but he's just getting used to it. Rodney Hood is surprising me a lot, but I'm not surprised at the same time because he's a veteran and he knows what to do, offensive and defensive. And I think he had a steal last game. And, you know, he did a great job defending the 2 and 3 coming off of CJ McCollum and Derek Jones. And he scored 13 last night. So, you know, I think it's a win-win almost. Blazers want to contend. They got Powell. They're going small with their small forward. Powell will be at the 3 spot. But it is what it is. And, you know, Raptors, I don't know what's going to happen. If we're going to go to the lottery, we're going to try to get that 10th spot to get in the play-in tournament. But hopefully we get it going. Nakeem, I want to hear your thoughts.
I really do agree with you. And I think you mentioned it. And I'm probably going to go into it a little bit more in depth for Raptor fans that are listening to this. But this trade was pretty much inevitable. Like, going into the trade deadline, you knew either Lowry or Powell were going to be dealt. Like, it had to happen. And it basically comes down to money. The Raptors just didn't have enough money. And look at how the people they have tied into money. They got OG on a 4-year, $72 million deal. Pascal Siakam is on a max contract. Van Vliet's getting paid upwards of $19 million a season. And then also Kyle Lowry's obviously, you know, he's getting paid $30 million a year. So Lowry still on the team. And if they want to keep Lowry long term, if he decides to stay in Toronto, you're not going to get him at a cheap price. And obviously Lowry takes more priority over Powell based on what he's done for the franchise. And the Raptors don't want to hold Powell back from getting his payday. Everyone knows Norman Powell is deserving of that bag. And the way he's been playing, he's getting around $20 million a season, like a year. Like, that's no doubt about it. He's been playing that good.
We'll get his bag on free agency.
But the thing is, you have all these guys on your team right now, right? And look at how they're producing as a collective. They're not even in playoff contention right now. So if you put that money into Powell, not only are you getting close to the cap space with players that, are they really even worth that much money? That's arguable for a lot of people. But they're not going to produce as much as you want them to produce. You're going to pay Norm Powell $20 million. You have all this money tied into players. Who else are you going to add to this lineup to get better? You're just going to be standing in a puddle of mediocrity for a very long time. And Masai Ujiri had to jump the gun and say, you know what? As much as we love Norman, there has to be a change made soon. And also, Norm Powell's 28 years old. It's not like he's going to keep getting tremendously, tremendously better. If he does, great on him. But the odds are that this might be his peak. He is in a contract year. It is a known fact that players play better in a contract year. And now you get a guy like Gary Trent Jr. in return. Is Norm Powell a better player than Gary Trent? Most surely. Everyone can say that.
Yeah.
But does Gary Trent have potential to be better than Norman Powell?
Oof.
Very much so. He is already almost, I think you would say, I would say that Gary Trent's a better defender than Norman Powell right now.
And he's a shot creator.
Yeah, shot creator. And then you just develop him a little bit. He's already got a nice looking jumper from three. Let him adapt that ability to put the ball on the floor. And then that kind of opens up the offense. And I've seen him take shots, especially in the game against Portland, where although he missed them, the way the setup towards the shot looked very nice. And I was very impressed with just the setup. He had one on Norman Powell, like, actually, where he like did like a pound dribble on his left, threw the leg, step back, shook Powell a little bit, and he had a great separation. And I was like, that is a great move to get a shot. Once he gets more confident and more comfortable with the scheme of the offense, he's going to be a problem to deal with. And I just think that for Raptor fans, you got to be able to move on. You're not going to be able to keep every like hero for the team, every fan favorite. And it's great for Norm Powell. I want him to get paid, although I wanted him to stay as well. But it's just one thing that had to be done.
One thing that had to be done. You know, Gary Trent, there's so much moves that he could add to his repertoire of skills and attributes. And I'm happy for the guy. And once again, only 22 years old. And I can't believe that. I was shocked when I heard his age. So, Nakeem, I totally agree with you. You nailed that. You nailed that segment. I think that Raptors still have a hopeful future. And we'll see what happens next year. But this year is not over. And I'm going to try to be a believer. Let's see what happens.
See what happens. And we've got some time left. So let's briefly talk about one other trade, the major one at the buzzer of the trade deadline. Victor Oladipo going to the Miami Heat now.
Wow. Pleasure.
I think that's a big trade. I think Miami gets significantly better. I don't want to go on a whole ramble of sorts, but I think he fits the scheme of what they're building in that culture there in Miami. And him, if he can get to where he was in Indiana during that All-Star season, alongside Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, everyone they have together, Miami can make a run for the finals again. And they're right now the eighth seed. That is one of the scariest eighth seeds, I think, in the history of the NBA.
Miami has their first big three since LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. You have Jimmy, Bam, and Oladipo. That's it. And you got Oladipo without giving up Robinson or Hero, which is a huge W. You had to give up
Avery, Olynyk, Bradley, and Kelly.
And Bradley. Not that much. Olynyk, maybe you'll miss him a bit, but I think he's quite replaceable, especially with how Precious is playing right now.
Yeah. And don't let us get started with the Houston Rockets and what they've got in return for James Harden, because that's an episode in itself. But yeah, all I got to say is that great trade. We have yet to see Victor Oladipo play with the Heat yet, I believe. I don't think he's played with them yet.
I don't think he's going to make his debut today either.
But I can't wait to see how he fits and how he molds with them, because right now they've got four former All-Stars on their team. Goran Dragic was a former All-Star as well. Mm-hmm. So they got really good talent in Miami, and they've got a lot of composure, and it's veterans. They know how to play. They just know how to play the game of basketball.
I can't wait to Miami.
Malik, let's talk about some of the big buyout additions before we end this video. Podcast episode off. We have LaMarcus Aldridge.
Man!
With the Brooklyn Nets. Now, take us through. I think you have the same mind that every NBA fan have when they heard the news break. Malik, what was your first initial reaction when you looked at your phone and you got the notification that LA is going to Brooklyn?
My reaction was, I went straight to the comments and straight to social media to see everyone's reactions. I had to see everyone else's reaction before I saw my own reaction and looked in the mirror to see my face. So I saw Stephen A. Smith post, like, what is this? No competition or whatever. Stephen A. Smith posted something. Kevin Durant was beefing with people on Twitter. Yeah. And he was, you know Durant.
Yeah.
You know Durant, but Griffin and Aldridge off the bench. Oh, wow. Then you have DeAndre Jordan, Joe Harris still, Bruce Brown, Tyler Johnson. Then you have the main three, which is Kyrie, KD, and freaking Harden. And like, what else is there? What else is there to say? If they don't win this year, it has to be next year. If they don't win next year, then that's it.
No, I literally think this is if they lose this year, that is horrendous. This is literally their championship to lose. And social media is going to have a beating with them if they lose this champion, if they don't win the finals. But although I know LaMarcus isn't the same LaMarcus Aldridge that he was in Portland or his early years in San Antonio, same thing goes with Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin didn't make a dunk for 2 years with the Pistons. Comes in first two games of the Nets, he's dunked two times. And then Aldridge, you don't even know what he could bring with James Harden being his facilitator. You know, easy jumpers. If he just has to stand at the elbow and just take mid-range shots, I don't see how he doesn't average 15 points a game. Like, I really don't see. And there's just so much depth. It just ruins, I think.
Oh,
so
and Jeff Green is on the team too. Wow.
Jeff Green. I mentioned it. I don't know if you heard me. Nicholas Claxton as well. Amazing.
I love him. He's one of my favorite on Brooklyn.
He's a great young player. But if you look at the NBA last season, there was so much parity. So much parity. So much duos. It was the year of the dynamic duos, you know? And now all of a sudden you have not even a super team. I think this team might be even more deep.
Yeah, the Avengers.
Warriors super team. Like, I'm literally convinced, but
yeah, the Avengers.
You got the Avengers. Like, I saw a meme where it's like, what's next? Thanos signs with the Nets? Like, well, I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised either, my friend. But it's just crazy to me. And now you look at another buyout player who signed, and that's Andre Drummond going to the Lakers. And I'm much more happy with that, because if he went to the Nets, I would have been really upset, because Andre Drummond is not washed. I don't want anyone to tell me that he's washed. He's still like top two in rebounds per game. He's going to be great with the Lakers. I think they needed a center. They really did. And not only did they get a center, they got a dominant center at that. So I think he's really going to complement Anthony Davis and LeBron very well.
Wow. Drummond, Anthony Davis, Montrezl Harrell, and Kuzma. That's your front court right there. Then you have LeBron, who's the leader, the forefront center of that team. Wow.
And you got Dennis Schroeder to help you at the point guard position too. And they've got a solid team. I wouldn't say they're as deep as Brooklyn. Of course, you have basically two MVPs. It's just crazy in Brooklyn. But I believe that the Lakers and Brooklyn will probably be the finals matchup if I was to make an early suggestion for it. I'd probably have them too.
That's my suggestion too.
This has been a wild, wild week of basketball, man. It's just been so much stuff going on. It's been so amazing, so entertaining. Great time to be a basketball fan.
No, wild week. I actually want to show you one more trade that's probably my favorite trade of the trade deadline and the most underrated trade of the trade deadline. And I think I know which one. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. The Mavericks got J.J. Redick and Nico Melli. WWWWW for Mavericks, man.
They got Melly too.
They got Nicole Melly and JJ Redick. Mavericks.
I literally thought it was just JJ. If they got Melly too, that is literally so much shooting in that trade itself. And who did they give up?
They gave up James Johnson, Wesley Wundu, and a second round pick. That's a W.
That's a dub. That's a dub. Because one thing that I've seen about them this year is that their offense hasn't really been there. So I think if you just get a little more offense to surround Luka, because Luka has been doing a lot of the load on offense, carrying it, that's definitely going to help them. JJ Redick and Nico Melli is an amazing shooting tandem. Now, before we end off this episode, it's only right that we address this. This is probably going to be our final episode on Spotify.
Yes.
So just repeating that, on Spotify, and also will be the final episode of the season on Spirit Live. I think it's only right that we just give our thanks to Spirit Live for being able to give us this platform to talk about basketball and just be able to speak our minds freely, pursue our passions. So thank you to everyone at Spirit Live who is helping make this a possibility. And just a little heads up, I know everyone's used to hearing the trivia about the games that me and Malik go through. I know this is about the end of the month. Malik should be doing a forfeit, but if you want to see that forfeit, we are not done this season of Hoop Central just as yet. You can find us on our YouTube channel, Hoop Central Network, where we'll be posting the podcast episodes there for the rest of the season. Now, yep. Malik, any farewells before we sign off?
You know, to the 5-6 people that are watching this, maybe. You know, but no, Nakeem has a fan base. I have to try to live my fan base. But, you know, I want to thank, I want to thank our university, and I want to thank all the individuals or the people that made Spirit Life possible during a pandemic while we're home studying. I want to thank those individuals. You know, we really appreciate this opportunity to express our opinions and perspectives on the NBA world and basketball in general. So I thank everyone who's involved and made this possible. And, you know, I've had lots of fun. I thank you, Nakeem, for joining me, bro. I love your insights. And, you know, I can't wait to see what the rest of the NBA season, what's going to happen. You know, we're Raptor fans, so we're so happy with what's going on right now. We are so happy. We're livid. But
we got spoiled for a couple seasons. So at least we got a championship. A lot of teams can't say that. So
we got a championship.
What's 1 year of being bad when you've got a chip, you know? So, yeah. But Malik, it's been a pleasure of doing this podcast with you. Although this is not the end, we're making it seem like this is the end or something.
Yeah, not the end.
But it's not the end. Thank you all for listening. On Spotify, on Spirit Live. Make sure you guys can check us out on YouTube, as we'll be transferring there. But with that being said, it has been your boy, Nakeem.
It has been your boy, Malik Metamarera.
Oh, he added in the last name.
You know it.
But we shall see y'all in the next episode. Peace.
Peace.